Moshe is Aaron Kain Asa.
Right? So it says that the pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael did Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. This is like the Korban Pesach. Ves Aaron, as Moshe is Aaron, Kain Asa. So it says Kain Asa twice. Right? It's repetitive. It says Vayasu Bnei Yisrael. They did it. And then at the end of the pasuk it says Kain Asa. So that's the question. Both Rashi and the Alshach are bothered by the same question. Why does a pasuk say Kain Asa twice? So they have two completely different answers. I just want to learn both of them, because both of them are very yesidistic. But let's start with Rashi. So Rashi says, the very end of Rashi, the last words of Rashi, Umohu Kain Asa, the last four words of Rashi, five words, Af Moshe V'Aaron Kain Asa. In other words, the first part of the pasuk says, Vayasu Kol B'nei Yisrael. All B'nei Yisrael did the Korban Pesach, like Moshe V'Aaron did. And Kain Asa and Moshe V'Aaron also did it. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. So the question is, why would anyone think, if you already told me that all Klal Yisrael did it, so why would you have a Hava Amina that Moshe V'Aaron didn't do it? So Rashi doesn't say. So I had an idea. Truth, I looked in the regular Mikrois Gedoitas with all the Mepharshim, and of course he said different than what I wanted to say. Right? The Gur Aryeh said different. The Gur Aryeh says because there was a Hava Amina that you make a drasha that the Tzivoy was only for the people who were Avodim, but the Moshes and Aaron, since they weren't Avodim, so they weren't included in the Tzivoy, so therefore you're going to have a Hamina they have to do. Okay, but that wasn't what I wanted to say. And on my side, I checked, there's a Maharik, which is an early Rishon. The Maharik is a Rishon. So he says what I wanted to say. So I'm allowed to say what I wanted to say. He says, the Maharik says, well, we would have thought that Moshe V'Aaron didn't do it because they were busy. Because they're the president. They're running the whole geshef. Klal Yisrael's leaving Mitzrayim. It's a busy time. And they're the leaders. You know how much has to get done? You're packing up for the Orlando trip. You have to pack up and get everyone and get 600,000 people to leave and to package and to everyone and all the shaitas. Everyone must be coming to Moshe with this question and that question. So you would think that they're busy with so many things, they're not going to have time for the Korban Pesach. Says the pasuk, no, they can't also. What's the word that I think, if that's the right shot, when it comes to a Musar Vad? What the point is that sometimes a person doesn't do mitzvahs not because he's sitting home and watching television. Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do because we're too busy doing mitzvahs. And that's also a problem. Yes, it would have been a chisaron because they were supposed to be doing this mitzvah, not the other mitzvahs. Even though they had to pick the right mitzvah. And the right mitzvah was to do the Korban Pesach. That's what the pasuk saying. Even though there were non-stop mitzvahs to do. But they had to pick the right one. So the goddess of Moshe V'Aaron is that they understood which one to pick, and the Torah is approving of it. Okay. My point, I think that the point is, it's a very important point, that many times fellows, people don't do what they're supposed to do, not because they're not wasting time. They just don't have their priorities, don't understand. Right. I'll give a simple example, and then we'll go to a hard example. A simple example, there was a guy in the yeshiva when I was in Israel. In Israel, first of all, in those years, I don't know, it could be still that way, paper was expensive in Israel. So toilet paper was also very coarse, and tissues were very expensive. So there was a guy with a tzaddik, he made a tissue gemach, but tissues are very expensive. So he ran over Yerushalayim. There was a store somewhere that sold cheap tissues. So he was running, spent the whole day, I don't say I'm exaggerating, but he used to spend a good hour a day going to this special store and buying the tissues and schlepping the tissues and checking that there's enough tissues. So meanwhile, he wasn't learning. So I say, very nice. You're running a tissue gemach. It's a wonderful thing. If not for you, everyone will be blowing their nose on toilet paper. And the Israeli toilet paper is very, not like the American toilet paper, was very coarse. And they would all be blowing on red noses. And because of you, people who don't have red noses, they got, so you know, there's some. But fart, you're not learning. You know, so it's not, it's your understanding of your priorities and wrong. Okay. That's an easy example. But that, what? He couldn't, whatever. If he could limit this tissue gemach to the right time, but apparently he wasn't able to. But let's get to a more complicated example. Right. We'll take Rabbi Begida. I happen to like Rabbi Begida. Rabbi Begida is a very amazing person. Right? Now, if you know, Rabbi Begida can, if he wanted to, he can be talked to high school kids day and night about major problems. Or we'll take Rabbi Shai Cohn, also an amazing person, right? Shai Cohn does with kids at risk. Besides, I'm sure he gets phone calls all day long, nonstop, that my son's going off the derech, my daughter's going off the derech, this guy on there right now. Now, if you're going to deal with it all day long, but you got to eat, you got to sleep, someone's going to call up, Rabbi Cohn, my daughter's going off the derech. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to sleep now. My daughter's going off the derech and you're going to sleep. But, you know, at some point, I got to sleep, you know, right? At some point. So you have to figure out the somewhere the bounds. Now, what if instead of not going to sleep, he wants to learn a little bit? He wants to have a say there. My daughter is going off the derech, and you're sitting and learning. Just close that gemara, right? But there is a certain point that we do hold hashkafically. Now, one closing your gemara is not such a problem. But what if you're doing it every day? Regretfully, there are great rabbeim, who, because they're so great, they never get a chance to learn anything. Because they're so involved helping people day and night. I think Yeshiva held that was wrong. Because if you're never going to get to learn anything, you're not going to be a great Rebbe anymore. Because a person needs learning himself, just like you need to sleep. And you need to eat. And just like you understand that at some point you have to stop helping people because you got to eat. At some point you got to stop helping people because you got to learn yourself. It means I can't help you. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I gotta sometimes even have to take a vacation, right? But I think even a better example, which is a much more nogei example. I get a phone call that this person, his kid's going off the derech, and my son, my 8-year-old son, says, "Daddy, will you play with me a game of baseball?" What do you do? Now, come on. What's more important? A game. What does it play? Stratego. You know, see, what's more important, to play Stratego or to help this guy, his son's going off the derech, right? It's push it. You help the guy go off the derech, right? Push it. But what if you do that every day and you never, ever, ever, ever play Stratego with your son? Then your son's going off the derech, right? And regretfully, this is a very common problem. It really is a very common problem for Rabbeim who are very successful and Gedolim, that their kids and their wives feel that their father doesn't love them because their father's busy all day with everything else except with their kids. So sometimes in priority, when you have to figure out priority, even though intrinsically playing a game of Stratego is stupidity, and I can go ahead and save a guy from going off to derech, but I gotta go ahead and, you know, deal with my son. I gotta sometimes show my son that I love him. And if I'm gonna go ahead and every day say I'm too busy, sorry son, I'm too busy, it's not good. So it's a very hard thing, people to figure out the balance. It's not the balance, not the right word. When do you go ahead? Obviously, there are times that you have to, obviously, I'm not, you know, someone's going to commit suicide, no matter what you do, you drop everything, you got to go stop them committing suicide, right? And the guys, if mamish this second will make the difference if you're going off the derech or not, maybe you stop also everything. But there are people, a little bit, I have to know from experience, there are people that are very, very time consuming, and they, you know, and you don't necessarily have the ability to help them. Right? I have to tell a funny story. It's a funny story. I don't know what the Musar Haskell story is, but it's a little bit related. My father was a shul rabbi of a large shul. Young Israel Forest Hills at that time was a very, very large shul. Forest Hills since then has gone down in the neighborhood to some extent, but at that time it was a very, very large shul. And he was busy day and night. And what he was busy mostly was he was very good in dealing with people's problems. And, you know, Shalom Bayis, and Tina, all these psychological problems. He was busy day and night. So I had a relative who was a little bit crazy, regretfully. And she used to call, and my father would spend hours trying to help her. And he would succeed. But then the next day, she's back to the same problem again. And the next day, the same problem again. And very often, her problem, she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with her problem. And, you know, she didn't mind. She didn't stop, 3 o'clock in the morning. She's having a major problem. What's 3 o'clock in the morning? I have a major problem. So, you know, if you're having a major problem, you call it 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, major problem. But at some point, it was driving my father crazy. And it was for sure driving my mother crazy. And so my father went, there was a psychologist in the shul who had was a world famous psychologist in Manhattan somewhere, and he was a very prominent psychologist. So my father said, maybe he can help me, how I can help this relative, because I'm trying, and I don't help her. So he made an appointment, and he went down to Manhattan, and he's going to meet this world famous psychologist. So he comes back, I said, what happened? He's all laughing. He says, I come in and I tell this psychiatrist, my member, what my problem is with this relative. He says, Rabbi, you think that's the problem? Listen to this. My father said, I spent 5 hours helping him deal with his relatives. he never got to my, that's basically. So there are people that they can drive you crazy. You have to know that too. You have to be you have to have boundaries. There are high school kids. We've had base medrash guys who got out of learning because they got so involved in trying to help a high school kid that they never learned because the high school kid was so needy that they had no, how can they learn? The kid needs me every second. But you can't do that, even if the person's very needy. So, okay, anyway, the first point, that's what first I'm trying to make, is it's a very important point that people don't only battle because they're wasting time. Even sometimes taking a vacation, sometimes it's the right thing to do. Playing strategic with your kids is the right thing to do, and sometimes even taking a break and going to a camping trip could be the right thing to do, right? There's sometimes people need, just like you need to sleep and you need to eat, and there, you have to figure out, it's very, very hard if a person has nothing to do, you don't have a problem. But many people, especially when you get more successful in life, the weighing of, it's not that you have too many mitzvahs, and the weighing of which mitzvah takes precedence is not so easy. So I think that's what the goddess here of Moshe was. He was able to make the right decision, even though there's a million people bothering him and help. Moshe, I need help. What should I pack? And what should I do? And who do I go to? And there's 600,000 people leaving Mitzrayim, and he's the leader. I'm sure he was busy, but Korban Pesach comes first. So Moshe Rabbeinu did break up. Okay, that's the Rashi. Okay, wait, what?
Is it so crazy? There's only two essays that are Akaris, and this is one of them.
I didn't say it's crazy. And that was the right decision. I'm saying that the Chiddush of the Pasuk is, why the Pasuk write it? Because it's a Chiddush. So according to the Chiddush is that Moshe, it's a shvach to Moshe. We're praising Moshe. So what's the praise? The praise is that it's not so easy to make the right decision. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, because helping. Okay. Anyway, I want to look at the Alshuk. The Alshuk is very fascinating. Look at the Alshuk. The Alshuk says a different answer. It starts at the beginning of the page of the paragraph. Vayazuk Asher Siva Hashem es Moshe. Kimei Oz Hoku. Hashem gave the tzivui on the 10th day on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They went and they left. So when they went, after they heard the tzivui, they left. Nechshav kiilu asu. It was as if they did it already. Even though they didn't do it yet, Moshe comes on Chodesh Azel Lechem, Chodesh Adoshim, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and he tells people to get to go ahead in 10 days and bring a seh and get it ready, right? And then shecht it on your Dawid. But right away, when they left Moshe and they heard the tzivui, it was as if they did it. Why as if they did it? Because they made a commitment. Moshe told them to do it. And Machshava Toiva Mistarif Lemaisa. Right? That says Zeh Chaf Adimyon. They didn't really do it yet. It was kasher. Kasher, he's saying here, it's like a ka. It's ki'ilu. Kasher siva. The kasher is like, it says kiss siva, as if they did it. So the first, the achra came, and then a second time, be'esapura, when it came the 14th day, came asu mamish. Then they did it again. Nimsa, so it comes out, kidilu shtei asiyas beyond, as if they had two mitzvahs. One, awif machshava, be'es aricha, and be'es, sher be'es amais, the amazing alshach. Alshach saying like this, Moshe came and gave them the tzivui on Rosh Chodesh Nissan that they should, on the 14th day of Nissan, they should go ahead and bring a Korban Pesach. The people said, yes, we're going to do it. They made up their mind. Then they actually did it. So says the Alshech, how much schar did they get? They got schar as if they did it twice. As if they did, twice they did the mitzvah. Why? Because immediately when they said yes, there's a concept of machshava toiv and mistarif lemaisa. What would have happened if they said yes, we're going to do it, and then they would have, they would have gotten sick and they weren't able to do it. So there's a halacha that if a person made up his mind to do a mitzvah and an oinus happened and he didn't do it, so it's like he did it. So that commitment that they're going to do it, Hashem gives you schar as if you did it, even if you ended up not doing it, because you were an ines. You got sick. What if the guy dropped dead? Chas v'sham. So he would have still gotten schar as if he did it, because he made a commitment, he's going to do it. So as soon as they made the commitment, when Moshe said, bring the Korban Pesach in 10 or 15 days, and they made up the commitment, we're going to do it, they got schar in Shemayim, was written down, they did it. Now they actually did it. On the 14th day of Nisan. So he says, the Alshuk, they get schar twice. Right? It's a very amazing thing. That we can stay asiyas beyond them twice. Echad b'machshava, one because they made up their mind, and one because they did it. Right? Now, we would, without this Alshuk, we would have thought that even though it says that machshava toiva mistarif lemaisa, but now you don't get double schar. It's like you did it. So you can't do the mitzvah twice. You can't shake a lulav twice. You shake a lulav twice, you only get one schar. So you did it already when you made up your mind. So then when you actually do it later, you don't get any extra schar. You already got your schar earlier. I know. Somehow or another, you can only get one schar. But says the Alshuk, that you end up getting double schar. And the Alshuk says this in a few other places, I believe. I think I've seen it in other places. That when you make a commitment to do a mitzvah, and then you actually do it, if someone's making, you get double, which means that a person goes ahead. It's an amazing thing, which is why it's so much better to make at least a mental commitment. I go ahead and I want to decide what I'm going to do, right? Bena, there's a break, right? We have a break. So how much am I going to learn during the break? So the guy said, I'll play it by ear. I'll see. I wake up every day. I see how I feel, and I'll play it by ear. Okay, that's makes sense. Problem with that is, then you only get schar one time. But if you go ahead and you decide now, oh, I'm going to learn, and you got to be honest with yourself, I'm going to learn 3 hours a day. I'm going to learn 3 hours a day. And then you actually do it. So according to the Ashach, you got double. Right? It's a gewaltige thing. Because you got schar for the commitment, and you get schar for the actually doing. It happens to be that the Bawi Musar are very big in any way that a person should try and make decisions in advance. Because there's a rule that the Bawi Musar say that there's a general rule, they say that the Yetzer Tov functions with seichel, with your intellect. The Yetzer Hara is mainly motivated by emotions. Says there's a difference between the emotions and intellect. Intellect can see in the future. Emotions only come in the present. In other words, it's very hard to get emotional about the delicious steak that you're going to have tomorrow. When you have the steak, you get emotional. So they say like this: if I'm invited to a wedding, I'm not sure if it's kosher or not. I'm not sure if the caterer is kosher. So you have to make a decision. If you should eat there, if you want to be dying the hechsher. So if you're going to decide today, the wedding's in a week from now, so you have your intellect. You're going to do research. You can make an intellectual decision. You don't have a very strong taiva because you can't have a very strong taiva because it's for a week from now. So the Yetzirah is not pushing to cloud your brain. So you can just make a right intellectual decision, which is great. But if you're going to say, listen, why do I have to decide today whether I'll eat there? I'll wait till I get to the hall. And then I'll ask around in the hall. I'll find out who the mashkiach is. So then already you go to the wedding hall and you smell all the food and you see all the delicious food. And then you start looking for the mashkiach and find out. At that point in time, you already have a very strong emotional desire. You want to have the food. So that's not the right time to make a decision because your emotions might be blinding you. So in general, the Bawi Musar are very big that it's much healthier to make, whenever you make a decision in advance, you're sort of like outsmarting the Yetzirah, not because you're making your decision when the Yetzirah is not there yet. The Yetzirah, which is Taiva, is in emotional things only called B'Shas Maisa.
Well, so, when I make the intellectual decision now, that's going to stay with me.
Well, it's much more likely it'll stay with you. Once you made the decision, if I decide, I want to know whether this wall is kosher or not. So I looked information, I called up, whoever was in charge, and I found that, and he says, the kashrus is not so great, I don't recommend you eat it. And I decided, I'm not going to eat there. Once I made that decision, of course it's possible when I get there and I'm tempted by the food, I might change my mind, but it's less likely. Once I already made a decision, at least I know what's right. But if I didn't even decide yet, so then it's much more easier for the HR to go ahead and say, yeah, it's kosher, I'm sure it's kosher. Look, there's a guy over there with a yarmulke and he's eating. It must be kosher, right? It's much easier to rationalize. You can always go ahead and make a mistake, obviously, but you're less likely to rationalize.
But if you already made a decision, if I find mashkiach and he tells me, meaning if I don't make a decision in advance, and I just get there and then I find the mashkiach and he says it's not kosher, it's going to be much harder for me to...
Because if he says black and white, it's not kosher, maybe it won't be so. But if it's, questionable, very often the guy will say, mashkiach won't say it's not kosher. No mashkiach is going to say it's not kosher. He'll tell you, yeah, of course it's kosher. I'm the mashkiach. It's not the mahadrin. It's not the bezekher. That we lie in certain kulas, but it's basically okay. And Rabbi so and so says it's fine. Okay, this rabbi says it's not fine, and this rabbi says it is fine. And we follow the more mekel shita. So now you have to make a judgment call. Do you want to follow the? You want to go with the Mahadran or you want not? Now that's a judgment call. Now I don't think not necessarily saying you have to go with the most chomer shita, but at least when you're making that judgment call, you should do it when you're intellectual, not when you're emotional. Not when you walk into the hall and you're hungry and you're and you see this delicious food and you're starving and you have a very strong negiah to eat it, and then you're going to make a judgment call whether do I want to follow this sheet or that sheet, which you know. Will change your when you make your intellectual decision and you're weighing in when you're in the hall, you're liable to make the wrong intellectual decision because your emotions affect your intellect. But if you have no emotions, so then you're making an intellectual decision without emotions. That's much better.
What if you made them already a decision and then you have like second thoughts?
That happens all the time. But at least you're less likely. Sometimes your second thoughts are, but you're more likely to keep what you intellectually decided is right, because at least you know that this was the intellectual right decision. You know that when I had no negiyas, this is what I intellectually decided. So you're more likely to decide with it. Okay. Anyway,
like good things, like where's Akira? Like by the hall, you're saying, do I eat the chatzi kosher food or not? But what if you have like if the kids like where's by Moshe, like saying, do I do this mitzvah or do not? Do I do this mitzvah?
Okay, I'm not applying it to Moshe because I don't think out here there was no taiva, but there are things that have taivas. When you're faced with a taiva, taivas have the tendency of making a mind, you're blurring your brain. So it's always better to decide decisions when your brain is sharp, not when your brain is all for tumult. When you're deciding, when you're not having, when you don't, the taivas are not nogeya, so your brain is sharp because the emotions aren't there. So then you make a decision, and then
let's get rid of the emotions.
That's not so easy. Obviously I have to try, but it's much harder. So that's why it's better to make a decision earlier. But the Alshach, just for the record, I think that's what the Bari Musa is saying, that it's better to make decisions earlier because you're more likely going to make the right decision. But the Alshach Islam is a very, very inspirational thought, because the Alshach is saying that there's another advantage of making decisions early, is that you get double schar. It's a terrific thing. According to the Alshach, if I decide, you know, in my case, I decide I'm going to learn for 3 hours, and then I actually go and learn 3 hours, so I got schar for learning for 6 hours. Right? Then you got a schar for four and a half hours. It was a real decision that you're going to learn for 3 hours, and then if you don't learn nothing because something happened, then you got schar for the machshava taiva is mistar for the ma'isa. So according to the Alshach, you have a way of doubling your schar. If you go ahead, when a guy comes and asks you for staka, you know, the guy makes an appeal on Shabbos, so you're not giving him the money anyway on Shabbos. So you say, okay, I'll say, come back Sunday and I'll see. So if you decide what you're going to give him when he comes back Sunday, so then according to the Alshach, you get double schar. If I go ahead and I say, listen, I'll decide then. Why should I decide now? There's no point. When you come back Sunday, I'll think about it.
There has to be a time or what second before? Meaning,
I don't know if it has to be a second before. It doesn't sound like it. Because then you always have a second before. Then you're killing. No. Then you're killing the Alshach's whole point is saying that the Torah is making this point because you don't always get it. Here, they got it. I think
so
that
every day I should say I decide to learn through Sederim today.
I don't know how much, but there is a concept. I don't know for sure exactly, but there's a concept for sure. If it's things in advance, you know, that I'm going to plan for my future, for my next year, for my next month, there is such a thing by making where it's realistic and it's honest. That's what the Alshach is saying.
What's that has to be a week before?
Otherwise, it's the same action. It's just they go together. Yeah, I think so. You have
so,
to. That he's saying. Okay, I don't know. So maybe I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly.
Does it work for something you were going to do anyways?
What if you made a decision like in the beginning, let's say, and then like a month later, some other thing comes up?
Okay, so then you got schar. That's what it says. And makshava taiva. Obviously, if it was a wrong decision, of course you don't do it. But you got schar. If I decided I'm going to do a mitzvah, and then something came up, and I realized I made a mistake, so I got schar for the makshava taiva. But you don't. But later you don't do it. So that says. But so that's also good. So, but the Alshach is saying even a bigger chid, the chiddush, when you decide to do a mitzvah and you end up not doing it, that's the Gemara's chiddush, and you get schar as if you did it. But the Alshach chiddush is a much bigger chiddush, that even when you end up doing it, so we would assume you can't get double schar for the mitzvah, so you only get one schar once. But the Alshach is saying a tremendous chiddush, that when you end up making a decision, and then you actually do it, you get double. Now, exactly, I don't know the parameters. Is it 5 minutes, 7 minutes before? I don't know. He doesn't say.
Why can't it just apply to tomorrow? I go to sleep tonight, and tomorrow I'm going to live through Siddur.
Maybe in Ochinami, if you really made a sincere commitment, then maybe that would work too. Yeah,
if you do that every day. Maybe.
I don't know. You read the Alshach.
How much I'm going to learn? Can I just say I make a commitment? I'm going to learn.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like you're doing. Okay. Why? Anyway, I don't know, but it's a very inspiring Alshach that we have. An Alshach has exactly the. I can't tell you the exact parameters. I'm sorry, but the Alshach has a thing that when you make a commitment. And then you actually do something, you just doubled your schar. So therefore, I'm saying it's better to make commitments. One is because of the Bawi Musar Svara, that it's better to make a decision before it's Nogei the Maisa, so you can make a decision when your Yetzer is not bothering you. And now we got the Auschwitz reason, because you get double.
I'm learning every day a half hour. And the first day I learn a half hour, then I'm like, wait, that was very easy. Actually, I'm gonna learn for another hour, and I'm gonna try to learn for another hour. Is that?
I assume not. I assume that you only made a commitment during a half hour. Because I assume you only, because it's a time gap, it's a break.
What? But right now I have a healthy, sharp mind. And right now I'm thinking.
I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know.
Rebbe said the Yetzer Hara is emotional, that it's something that can't see in the future. It only works in the moment. People don't get excited about things. Say someone said, I'm so excited, I'm going to have the most expensive cheeseburger in the world.
And there's ain't a dying man. To when you actually sitting there in the hall and they're serving the cheeseburger.
But it's nevertheless
okay,
there.
Okay, but it's 100 times less. So it's much better. So you're correcting my language. It's not that you're making the situation no Yetzer when there's a weaker Yetzer.
What if you had like two positives and not like a negative?
No.
You have two positive things, right? Like, that's what I was saying, like, being emotional. Like, he had two ideas, do mitzvah A or mitzvah B. Let's say he made a logical decision to do mitzvah A, and then it's going to come up eventually later. And then let's say some factor came up that says, you know, it might be better to do mitzvah B. Should he change his decision?
Yeah, obviously, if you realize it, what are you doing now, you realize it's right. I didn't say you should be locked into what you said. You should obviously should do now what's right. But you just, by deciding before, you get doubled your schar. But of course, you only do it if it's right. You don't say, just because I said to do it, that I'm stuck, I have to do it.
The Alshach is assuming that you're also being genuine about the Machshava, and that it's also realistic. It's a realistic Machshava.
Obviously, yes.
Okay.
How do you get the balance that he was talking about?
Okay.
Isn't there a digital?